Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rupp from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community, downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. All right. Welcome, Matt. We have kind of a no topic, but we're going to just talk through my business a little bit today because I'm in some transition of kind of refocusing. I've been doing a lot of personal development, lots of therapy, lots of changes in my life. And as you adapt to all of these things, it impacts your own business and what you choose to do. I'm also highly motivated by some decisions you've made for yourself and your business that are subjects of future episodes. And seeing somebody, you know, intentionally make those changes helps me just rethink, like, what the hell am I doing? And what do I want to do? And I thought we'd maybe explore that stuff a little bit.
Let's get up in Brian's business. That's all I can think about.
Oh, that's funny. Up in my business. Up in my business.
It's a good question. As someone that's known you for years and people that do or do not know you very well, what's going on with your business?
Good question. I not a lot, but at the same time, a lot, if that makes sense. I think in my own personal development and things I've learned about myself, my comfort zone, for better or worse, has always been overextended and undervalued myself. So I feel comfortable when I have a billion things on my plate and I'm panicking about getting them done. And then I don't always get them done. I've put some intentional work into smashing that pattern. Mm. And I think going through that and what it's taken has made me an infinitely better coach in terms of my soft skills to kind of understand and go through that and make changes. So on one hand, I feel less busy than ever. Mm-hmm. I don't really have any intentional marketing going on at the moment. Yet when I look at my numbers and what I have coming up, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's not amazing. Part of me goes into times where I panic, but then I really look at, if I do an honest inventory of like myself and what I do, it's not bad. Like, it's like, oh, because a lot of the best work and best value work I do doesn't necessarily take a lot of time. And I distract myself with things that don't add value a lot. So it's in this weird spot where in a way it's going really well. I don't have anything on my plate or radar that I fear doing or don't like doing. And it's maybe taken me years to like stop committing to things that I don't really want to do.
Yeah.
So I have capacity to like get out there and get some more work in and more clients. I also have some things lined up where now I'm like, I have a huge block of focus time where I can dig into them and just turn it around quicker. And that's exciting as well. So I'm in this really weird spot where on one hand you could say, oh, it's crashing and burning. On the other hand, I'm like, it's kind of like, if we use the word burning, it's like you burn a grass field and then 2 days later it's super bright and green. I kind of feel like that.
Hashtag Kawartha Lakes.
Where you just need to do that sometimes. Because everything all the pieces I put into play, part of me is probably seeing this as like a relaunch phase. Mm. And I have full confidence everything's going to work out well. It's just, I don't know exactly what that is yet.
It is interesting because give me a minute to rattle these off, but you have a lot going on professionally. You are teaching. You have your clients for Profit Coach. You do, I still think, some teaching with the Business Made Simple, Donald Miller people. you are doing some, there's something else. There's a couple more. You have the opportunity to be a hypnotist. You have the opportunity to do the trauma of money type of teaching. Was there, oh, you do actual creative writing or brand messaging for marketing with story brand framework and brand messaging. You have a lot going on there.
It's a lot, and it's part of my problem, but yet it's got to me to where it is now, because I think my superpower is I can connect a lot of dots, mm-hmm. and I can see how everything connects. So like if I'm sitting down and I'm doing some marketing messaging, I internally want to make that business work so I can instinctively kind of run through some financial analysis of like what that's going to look like and kind of use all of these tools to figure out, like, is this going to work and is this the right thing?
And obviously, you help people get grants.
Yeah, which I have not. Well, I have that as well, a whole...
You don't want to do it, I don't think.
I don't want to actually do it, but I really want to teach people how to do it. Mm. So my idea jar is full.
Mm.
And that's part of the problem, where I can do all of these things. I've always liked doing different things. It's made me scattered and inefficient. And if I look at, you know, what's going on... Brian and his business, that's where the coach in me is like, well, you don't really have a business per se. You have Brian, the professional, who does all of these things and makes an okay amount of money. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, doing some numbers. I'm like, oh, like, I'm not rich. I'm definitely also not poor. It's like in between, and there's like good potential. And it comes back to, what do I want to do and what do I want my business to be? And I used to take pride on people not knowing kind of what I did. And even, you know, people like, oh, I don't know what Brian does, but maybe you should talk to Brian, is like a good, where all my clients have come from. Because
yeah.
I have all of these tools. I resist doing them transactionally. Mm-hmm. Like if you're like, hey, just write this thing, I don't really want to do that. But I love doing that work for the right client and the right story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the, like, how do I combine it? Because to me, you mentioned the things I do. So I'm a story brand guide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a business made simple coach. Mm-hmm. I work for Donald Miller's group as a business made simple onboarding coach. So everybody who joins that program, they get a 12-week onboarding process, and I'm on the coach team to onboard them, and apparently I'm really good at that. Like, the groups love me. I actually, over the summer, I'm going to be doing two groups, I think, because they've been, Donald Miller has a new book out called Coach Builder, and that program is selling like crazy. So
interesting.
That's kind of cool. The trauma of money, which was a course I took to help, that's changed my life and changed how I approach almost every conversation I have now.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's like a tool that just makes me better at everything else. I could do hypnosis. Took that training. And I'm kind of figuring out how do I combine them all. And to me, it's all about story. So when you build your business, it's based on A, you as the hero in the story and what you want to build your business for and how you build your business. It's also how you are the guide to your customers. So there's an element of, I love helping. Like, my favorite thing to do is story brand work.
Yeah.
And to me, it's all about story. We're in our own story. We're the guide in our customer's story. We build our business like an airplane and kind of that story. And then what gets in the way is things like limiting beliefs, emotions, which is hypnosis. And everyone's, you know, you don't get into entrepreneurship unless you got some stuff going on in your mind. And that a lot of it's money trauma, which now I have a whole new tool set to work through that as a coach. And you know, even if I'm not hypnotizing people, there's hypnosis techniques that just work. So it's like all of these things I think make me a great coach, but then I struggle with how do I communicate all of this crap?
Quickly. I'm laughing. No one else can see this, but I just got distracted by you and something you said. It just made me think about, like, if I'm not hypnotizing you at the coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely irrelevant. I'm so sorry. I don't want to answer my own question, but I'm going to say, I do think they all fit together.
Do you think
they all fit together?
Oh, I think they are all the same.
And I think it is a business.
And they are what makes me, I think, I'm also, like, in my own work, I'm letting go of my own fears. I've walked on eggshells my whole life. I think people don't like me. I was doing some acting coaching this morning, and one of the things I've learned doing theater is, like, oh, people actually enjoy my performance and they're engaged, where I'm always conditioned and braced for negative feedback or what's that idiot talking about versus, like, oh, that was cool and interesting. So I'm coming into this power. I talk about in coaching, and I think I've said this to you, so many people have said something like, you know, that conversation we had or working with you has changed my life for the better. And I'm like, how many times do I have to hear that before I actually believe it and realize I'm good at it?
I was going to ask you, like, do you think that your, not students, what would you call me? Like someone that works with you as profit coach, but someone like me, the plumber, the fitness person, the cabinetry person, do you think we don't like you?
I think there's some times where I'm like, oh shit, they're going to fire me today. Or they're like, what's this guy talking about? Mm-hmm. And there is an element of that where I have to battle where I'm like, no, they do. And they listen and I'm providing value. And that's my own, I guess, self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And where I'm realizing, I think there was also an element where I always thought it was like my knowledge would be the value. But what I'm realizing is the knowledge helps me communicate and bring out the value in a different way, but it's not necessarily the facts I know that they could get from reading the same book. It's more how I apply it to them in coaching that adds value. So it's just this, you know, again, some limiting beliefs. We all have our own version of that.
Yeah.
Where I'm starting to really shed that and realize, like, oh, I am good at this. I should be doing it a lot more. It's what I like doing.
Yeah.
I get so much value out of watching other people grow and make decisions that help them get what they want in their life. Mm-hmm. And it seems so simple sometimes, but it's not really simple at all.
I can see why you would think that we don't like you. Hear me out, though, because it's the nature of what you're doing. As a stage actor, the person is going to be entertained. Most people are probably very easily entertained, right? So they're gonna like your performance and they'll like you. As a business owner, I'm coming to you for maybe clarity, whether I get it or not, but, like, this is what I want. I want clarity, direction, I want a path, I want communication, I want truth, I want sometimes pats on the back, like, yes, you're doing this right, or, you know what, here's how I think you should do it. And I think those truths are probably the reason why you might think we don't like you. Because in those conversations, there's ego clash, or there's an annoyance, like, that you are giving me what I frankly want, but it still can be annoying. You know what I mean?
And that's where I'm coming into this, where I call it, like, rejection is sexy. Whereas I was always, like, people pleaser. I want to be nice. And I don't want to ever be like the drill sergeant, call you an idiot. But there's times where I have to give you something to accept or reject, and there's times where people reject it, and then maybe they're right, and they find a way to make it work, and because they're doing something I kind of said not to. It gives you the motivation to power through and make it right. And then there's other times where it's like they reject it and they're mad, but they come around to realizing like, oh, this is why. And then it always leads to a good place.
It's a fine line you have to walk, because like, I don't want you to be the drill sergeant, like you just said, I'm going to tune out. And I also don't want you just to be like, yes, everything you just did or about to do makes sense. But I do want something in between, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would be the same.
And they are, and I feel like I look back and I remember different things people have said. And someone in Grants once was like, oh, you're really good at being candid and kind, where they almost don't realize I'm kind of ripping on them. But it's what they needed to hear and understand, or just see a different perspective. Because we all get locked into our tunnel vision. We all think we know how things are going to go. And then when they don't go those ways, we get mad and upset. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes just that shift in perspective just unlocks what you really need to hear and do and see.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a business, sort of going back to that, but the idea that I'm thinking is, can you do it as Profit Coach? Or do you have to reevaluate the brand name specifically?
Yeah, and that's where... So I'm probably going to drop Profit Coach and just be Brian Rump, me, personal brand guy, because it's like, as a guide, mm-hmm. I'm not out there creating, like some people are like, oh, I created my proprietary intellectual property method, and they push that.
A 42-step method.
Yes, and I don't want to do that. I'm not the creator, but I... combine my knowledge, like nobody else has my perspective.
Yeah,
like I just look at the mix of, you know, I've been a commercial banker, government grants, I've helped people get a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I layer on story brand, business made simple, trauma of money, hypnosis. It's really about me finding the people who I work well with to guide them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily need to be a different name. Profit Coach is a name that I was a profit first professional. Mm. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a cool name. And then I registered it. Turns out it's expiring soon. So I'm like, do I keep this name? It creates a reaction in almost everyone who hears it.
It still might make sense.
And it does, but initially people get scared and they think I'm going to yell at them.
Yeah.
They think I'm going to look at their financial statements and yell at them. Or they think, oh, I need to get some stuff organized before I talk to you. And I don't want that barrier to be there, or I don't want to have to overcome immediately with an explanation. So that's kind of where my mind's at now, of like, do I pick and grow that business as a brand? Or is it like, I think about me, you know, there's times I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, mm-hmm. or I can be a speaker. And it's like, am I teaching, coaching, or speaking? And they kind of fit together. And really, it all comes down to, I like coaching, and working one-on-one is my kind of preferred method. I don't want to be an agency.
Yeah.
I love collaboration. Like, I love working with you and your clients, and yeah. you're kind of running that, and I show up to do what I'm best at, and then I don't have to worry about it. So I don't want to ever like duplicate that, or like some people will do that as a bit, and then they like, I really want to own my own, so I'll work for someone and then I'll like leave and do my own thing. I like to partner, and I can, you know, see myself as, you know, when I teach at Fleming College, I'm partnering as a teacher
yeah.
while I'm there. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where my mind is at the moment. And then really it becomes the business challenge is, how do I clarify what I do mm-hmm. in some services or steps that get people to like have that conversation
yeah.
with me? I think you pointed it out, where it's like, you know, the maybe you should talk to Brian. Like, so many people have come to me from that. And then I can collaboratively find out what is it they need now. Because long-term, what I really want to do is work with a few businesses and implement all of my tools. But that's hard to get to right away. Sure. And it's expensive. And as I said, I want people who want to hire you to all be their marketer, because some of my best successes are your best successes, where I'm coaching them, we do story brand, we're implementing it, and they're doing marketing activities, and the business grows from that. But to, you know, get you and me on board is not $200 a month type of thing.
I won't even get out of bed for $200.
Yeah. So for me, it's that. And then my internal things is I feel like I have to be of service to so many different people.
Yeah.
And because I like it. If you put me in front of, like, when I'm teaching, I love teaching. I love being in front of a group of, you know, 20-something-year-olds who are heading out into the world, and I give them stuff. So it's like, what more could I do for that audience? But that's a completely different audience than startups. And I love working with startups as well. Mm-hmm. But they just don't have a lot of money. So I have to be cognizant of, like, what investment level can I help them with? And then there's the people who just need to, like, implement it all and work with me on a very regular basis. And when you add all those up, it's like I can't be split in too many directions.
That's a lot.
And even then, like, I look at my own self and my list of, like, stuff I was trying to do. And I know, just, you know, mental health-wise, perfectionism-wise, stuff that we'll dig into openly at another time, I've needed to carve things off my list of where my mental energy is going, and I've carved a crazy amount off of that. Mm-hmm. And there's still more to go, but I do believe it at the end of the day, it is all about story. Mm-hmm. and helping people create the business and life. Well, it's about creating the life they want through a business that's going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And in a way, simplifying that, which is really, really hard to do. And I would say it's impossible to do without the right coaches mm-hmm. around you. And I want to be a coach doing that.
That's awesome. It sounds like a very fun, I was going to say problem. It's not a problem. It's a fun challenge.
It is. It's, and I think I'm realizing it is a challenge. It's based on empathy. It's not easy. In business, everyone's always like, it's like, I want to do the easy thing where I do 2 reels and then I just sit back and all the money flows in. And that doesn't work. Or you can't rely on it. It's not a strategy. It's my own advice about, well, what is my message? Now, I've done all right doing these different random things, but it's like, how better could I do if it's a bit more clear with what I do? Or understand that...
Yeah.
There's a learning process, and that's part of, again, in any relationship, there's curiosity, enlightenment, and commitment. So I'm never going to have a post that gets people right into commitment, because you do have to kind of get to know me a bit. I need to get to know you and your business and what you want, because one of my strengths, I think, is I take psychological responsibility for your success. Mm-hmm. Like, I work with you and Meg, and I talk about the G team, and it's like, at the end of the day, we are here to make your future life for your family better.
Yes.
And that's the controlling idea and filter that everything goes through. So it takes time to build that, and then it helps me give better advice and coaching for that versus trying to steer you in directions that don't support that goal. So for me in my marketing, it's realizing, oh, we have to get people to get to know me, which is why we have the podcast. Yeah. Part of the reason there's the podcast. Yeah, it's hard because I want to do deeper work, but then I know for me, I need to be clearer on, you know, what can I do for $300 and what can I do for $2,000? And, you know, I was doing some numbers and my, you know, top customer paid me $15,000 last year. So it's like, oh, $15,000. There's still more I would like to do for that person is a entry, like that's what it costs.
That's not even close to enough.
Yeah. When you think about the transformation that person has had,
yeah,
I think it would have happened faster and even more with a bigger investment. So it's thinking through all of those things in terms of me as a business, and then what do I want to do within that? Because I still struggle with, like, do I want to own and run a business? Which parts do I do? What do I want the future of it to look like? At the end of the day, I love showing up, and what I've learned in the theater, what I love is showing up and performing. And that can be a coaching session. It can be teaching a class. Mm-hmm. It can be a story brand session. Like, that's where I just love doing my best work. And recently I was catching up on some work for you where I realized even in my writing it's a performance. So when I treat it like a performance and I can show up to sit and, you know, write out some web copy and go through the whole brand messaging, I do better work and I love doing that work versus like the transactional moving the plates around or like,
yeah,
you know, some people see running a business and they want to do all the background admin. And I've done that for other people and myself, but really what I want to do is show up and perform and do that performing work. But you can't really do that. You know, I kind of need to have my own business to have control over what I want to do and when.
That's interesting because I don't want to be the performer. And I want to be the person in the kitchen who's calling out orders and telling people to come pick up their plates. I want to tell the servers.
Yeah, you're the expediter.
Yeah, I don't
know. If we do like the chef version.
Is that what they would call it? What do you think their title would be?
Well, they're, I think in like Gordon Ramsay standing there. No, it's, I think they're, or you're on the, I think they do call it expediting, or there is a name for who, because that's a hard job.
Yeah.
They talk like fine dining restaurants, like people work up to be that person.
Right.
And oftentimes it is a chef who has, you know, they put in all the background work and all the recipes and like
sure.
And they train everyone on how to cook it, but then they're bringing it all together and timing it.
I like doing that, but
oh, that's
it's just
really
so
cool.
Funny and so interesting to think about what parts of the business people like to do. And it just goes back to what we probably talked about 200 episodes ago, which is you shouldn't be doing all of them.
Yeah, it's like...
It's insane.
The who, not how, and then what gets stuck in the way. And then for me, I've always, you know, I gravitate towards, you know, how can I help somebody else, which hasn't served me very well, versus if I really know what I want to do, and then I collaborate with people who get to do what they want to do, it's like... Who, not how, fundamentals. And like Dan Sullivan loves like radical collaboration. It's like you do your unique ability, I do mine.
I like that.
We share the money. Like you can always figure that stuff out. And that's where when I look at my future of my business, I'm like, it's me, maybe an assistant. Like I don't want a building with my name on it and a staff of 50.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to perform and do the roles I want.
Sure.
And I love, you know, and there's an element of balance to it. Because, like, it's hard to make a living if you're just one-on-one coaching. Like, an hour of coaching, it's a lot of energy. People are usually paying a lot for it.
Yeah.
Group coaching, I used to think I wasn't good at or didn't love, but then... my Business Made Simple groups have been outstanding.
Does that go well? Are people open and sharing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've all made an investment to be there. They're all professionals in their own way. My last group in particular, like some of the feedback I got from them, because it's intimidating, because a lot of them are, in my mind, they're way smarter than me. They're way more focused in some cases. You know, one person, her business is ptmomboss.com. And it's like, you're like, man, this is someone who really has it together and is maybe one of the most empathetic person people I've ever met in terms of her support for other people. Mm-hmm. She will immediately be like, oh, she'll say something. I'm like, you just summarized like everything in one statement. But, you know, when they're like, oh, you really helped me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm actually good at this format. And I think it's from being scarred, you know, years of doing things with the wrong audience. Yeah. It's like, you know, we've talked about it before, like locally you'll get a bunch of retired people or government people show up who want to debate the fine details of the things you say, and that's not helpful.
Yeah.
But when you get a group of people who take what you say and do it and get success from it, like, oh, yeah, this is all good stuff.
Hungry and invested.
Yeah. So I like doing that. And then I love, you know, I don't want to be a full-on marketer doing everything, but I do love, like, story brand, figuring out the kind of the internals and brand script, and then being part of the game of executing that. But I don't want to be, like, just doing that, like, or some of the fine detail stuff I don't love doing. It's like I get it to a certain point and I don't want to fiddle with the fine details.
My mind is all over the place because I'm thinking about the last podcast that we recorded and other stuff and thinking about, why is there not a small business support group? Small business owner support group. And in one sense, I hate that idea because I think that, I'm going to sound crazy now again, but like the media puts business owners on a pedestal. This fake narrative that we're better and we're the backbone of the economy, all this nonsense. And then tax breaks for businesses, just stupid. But the idea that I go to two different types of support groups and I have a coach for business, and do I have other coaches? I can't think of them right now. But why is there not one that's just strictly focused on small business support group for small business owners? And yeah, it's going to be a bit all over the place. Like your personal life is going to bleed into the stuff that's going on professionally, but that's an interesting idea too.
And that's real life. And that's like when people ask, like, well, who's your target market? To me, it's people where you are part of the business and part of the business is you as a guide. So like Maddie G Digital, I know there's all this kind of sexy stuff about how do you create a business where you never have to be there.
Passive income.
Just sit back and let the money roll in.
You just have to find passive income. It's just going to fall from the trees.
Yeah. And that's a valid thing that some people focus on. But for me, it's like, how do you create a business that funds your life? And they are entwined. So you can't just focus, because a lot of people focus on, well, what do I just need to do in my business? And the answer is always, it depends. Because everyone has a different skill set. They have different wants and needs as a family.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, kind of pick and play. There's lots of frameworks out there that work. There's lots of spreadsheet gurus that have a great spreadsheet that work. But it's finding the combination that work for you and solve the actual problems that you have. Mm-hmm. And so many people are overwhelmed and they jump in to solve problems that aren't even problems. Or they're not problems today. And support group type things can help with that.
I think it's an interesting idea based on a lot of stuff that we've done or talked about in the past.
And it's part of coaching groups. And that's where I think for me, like I have, and I keep wanting to fire up a group to go through flight school, which is a product I have partnered with Donald Miller's group to have that works and is great. And it's a 6-month program. There's content, there's kind of exercises that really help. You really need coaching to figure out, well, how does it work for my business? But part of the reason you do group coaching is just the support of, like,
yeah,
you know, part of this call is just support or people dealing with other things that aren't necessarily mechanical,
yeah,
business items.
It's interesting. Very interesting.
And that's something where, you know, again, for me, it's like, you know, it's one of the options of, like, putting it together. But it, and it seems easy because it's like, oh, just get a group of 8 people to pay you this much money and do it. But you need to talk to 100 people, okay, to find 8 where that's what they need right then. Mm-hmm. And some people, like, I think everyone needs it and can benefit from it, but they're not ready for actually committing to a program, because what happens is right away a whole bunch of stuff comes up.
Yeah.
Or they realize they've done a lot of things. I don't like using the word wrong. I know you've said it before where you're like, oh shit, I've done all this stuff wrong. But that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our Business Made Simple coaches, it's a 12-week program, and we're always like, at week 6, everyone hits a wall. And then at week 9, the real work actually starts, because everyone realizes everything they did was probably wrong.
Yeah.
But on week 1, everyone's planning to make 6 figures by the end of week 12.
Why not 8?
Yeah. And that's just kind of human and what, yeah, we go through, and it's what the benefit of having a coach is.
Mm-hmm.
And getting people to understand that,
mm-hmm,
is hard. I look at my own life and realized, you know, I didn't have a lot of great coaches in my life, mm-hmm, and I resisted a lot of actual coaching. And some of the things that were labeled as coaching weren't actually coaching. But if I could have become coachable earlier or realized, like, hey, just hire a coach. You got a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Find and hire the right coach for that problem, like, life changes. And that's why, you know, in business we have multiple coaches often.
I was just thinking to myself a question, and then I answered it, and now I think I have another question, which was, do you think you're going to have to focus more time on convincing people that they need a coach, or convincing people that they need to make their business better? And I think that people, every business owner recognizes they have to make their business better, but I don't think that they know a coach is what's going to help.
Yeah.
That's your big challenge.
Yeah, I think you can, again, I want to help everybody. Yeah. So there's a bit of effort towards convincing people they need a coach. I think in my own personal growth, I used to put all my effort there, and I wasted so much time and energy,
mm-hmm,
on the wrong people who don't get there. So you have to put in some to, like, get them to understand that. I think it's also scary because people have in their minds immediately what I'm going to tell them. And they think it's going to be scary. And usually what you think you need to do to make your business better is not actually what you need to do,
mm-hmm,
to make it better. And that's where I can help. And that's, you know, I think it's marketing, it's talking through stories, mm-hmm, of how that actually works with people, and that a coach is what you need,
mm-hmm,
to help figure it out. Because usually people think, you know, they follow somebody else and they want to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, if I only have the CRM system that that person has, everything will be better. And that's not usually what it is. So it is effort to get through it. And then there's the effort to commit to the process,
yeah,
that is patient. Because it's not like, I'm not going to show you something in like a 90-minute thing that's going to answer everything for you. and you're going to have to, like,
why not
adjust some things. Like, and it's, that's overwhelming. You know, I come in and, like, I love StoryBrand and like clarifying your message. And that's kind of the foundation of every business needs to do that. Mm-hmm. Or they don't have a marketing, or a lot of people have cash flow problems. Mm-hmm. The problem is you just don't have enough cash flow. Like mm-hmm. your business needs to market more and sell more. Mm-hmm. And how you do that depends on your message and some of the frameworks that I have. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people think I'm going to show them like something in a spreadsheet or like, oh, you've been classifying this wrong in your bookkeeping, and that's going to now suddenly make you richer. Mm-hmm. And it's never that mm-hmm. easy. At the same time, it's never rocket science. That's why I love the frameworks and the process I go through.
And I think they're used to their accountant maybe showing them every year their financial statement and what the accountant thinks that they should do. The accountant doesn't have the whole picture. They don't know what's going on in your business. The accountant's goal is to take you from plus dollars to maybe more plus dollars.
Or no, plus usually dollars it's like to zero. Lower taxes. It's like, yeah. Oh, how can we make you lose less money?
Basically.
Or so, lose more money.
And I think people are used to the accountant saying, well, stop paying for all of this, eliminate this line item, and then you will have more money.
Yeah.
And I think that's why maybe they expect you to have like that magic number.
Yeah, it's like if you just cut out marketing, you'll just have more profit. Because they don't understand like marketing is actually what allows you to do business. Mm-hmm. Or you're like people are often underinvesting in some things and overinvesting in others. Mm-hmm. Or they've, again, I love people building the business they want, but they've built the infrastructure, the overhead to what they want, mm-hmm. but it's too big for what they're actually delivering.
Yeah.
And they have no money. So what do they need to do? As one of my clients who follows the airplane and is also a pilot and sometimes answers his own questions. It's like, oh, if I'm in a plane and it is falling, I need to put more like power to the engines and tilt the nose up, which is like, oh, you need to like set your sights higher mm-hmm. and you need to marketing and sales is what the engines are in the airplane. And that's what most people want to do. But as we've talked before, some people will work really hard to not do marketing.
Yes.
And usually it's because all they see is bad marketing or other people's marketing. And they're like, well, that won't work for me, which is usually true. Like, yes, if I'm Brian Rump business coach and I look at a KFC ad, that's not going to work for my business. But no one ever said I have to run KFC ads and just put my name on them and hope they work. Yeah. I have to find and do what works for me and the clients I want to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times, good times. That sounds like an episode. Any final thoughts? What do you think I should do?
I don't know why. I'm just maybe I'm a nerd or a stick in the mud, but I keep coming back to being stuck on what the name should be.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else doesn't seem easy. I think you have some interesting stuff with you talked about with the tools and how you implement different pricing and everything. But to me, it all makes sense. They're all products of Brian Rump and then a clear name. And I've got some ideas and like not a... controlling message, or is that what you call it?
Like a controlling idea.
Yeah, but like a couple one-liners that I'm like, those and the name are the only things I'm stuck on.
Awesome. Well, we're going to hit stop, and then you're going to tell me what those are. And then maybe we'll...
I can tell you now. You want it now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
I keep going back to the perspective and the word pilot. So you could do... I thought of profit pilot. I thought of perspective pilot. That was it. They're not, might not be good, but that's where I am now with it.
Yeah, I love the idea of perspective. One time I had some feedback about, you know, if I use the analogy of the airplane and you as the client, it's like I'm in the control tower, like giving a different perspective. Like you're driving your plane, you can't tell if something's hanging off the bottom.
Right.
You need me looking up and saying, hey,
Yeah.
Here's what I see. Mm-hmm. So it's giving that perspective, or here's what's coming up ahead of you that you should be aware of, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're running low on fuel. You don't have enough to like get where you actually want to go.
Yeah.
So adding that perspective.
But then none of those names are very clear. So then you need a super clear one-liner.
Yeah.
So like, do you want to go something fun and ambiguous as your name, and then like a very clear one-liner? But I don't know. I think it's a fun. I mean, it's also a fun thing.
Chat about. And that's again where it comes back to me. Resisted liking my own name for a long time, and then partly it's like, do I just embrace my own name and be that guy? I don't love super clever. I just feel silly when it's like, oh, here's my super clever name, and now I have to explain what that is. It kind of goes against
everything,
the idea of clarity and story brand. And you have the right way, which is if your name doesn't say what you do, you need that one liner right away to make it clear what you do and who you work with. Mm-hmm. And those pieces are all, I think, kind of coming together. And at the end of the day, it's me deciding what I want to do and be when I grow up. And I heard a great perspective from, someone who I had it in my mind I was going to personal brand. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of was affirmed through my friend Laura Higgins, who has a great podcast. She was actually talking about on her latest episode kind of the fear that went along with branding as her name, and like, what if I want to do something different someday? Yeah. And the advice she got was, you have lots of time and you can spin off what you do and maybe sell that book of business, and they can rename it and do something with it. But it doesn't really corner you at all.
Your biggest concern should be that if you put pilot in the name, you have to wear a pilot hat every single call you're on, or you're going to get fired.
And do I have to talk in the pilot voice as well?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I just have a little pilot hat.
Pilot hat on every call.
Or a jumpsuit.
You get little wings.
Oh, I could wear like a Top Gun flight suit.
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
Just as my uniform the time.
That's awesome.
The thing about that, though, the pilot makes me the hero. And it's like, I don't want to be. You're the pilot of your. I'm helping you build your plane. You're the pilot.
You're the co-pilot, though, in a way.
Yeah, I could be a co-pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's. Do I want to be the co-pilot, the navigator?
But then you're just going, in my mind, then you're going down like heavy route of everything you do is going to be plane related for the rest of your life. And like, you're not a plane guy. Like.
I know.
I'm airplane guy.
Pseudo fascinated by
the idea of
aviation. I'm plane guy. Awesome. Great chat. Thank you. And that's our show. Matt, what do you want the people to know, and where can they find you?
I want them to go to mattygdigital.com and book a call.
Awesome. And I want them to go to profitcoach.ca and book a call with me. If you'd like to be on the podcast, please reach out to us, and we can make that happen at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.